We have been working our way, slowly but surely, through the I Will series. And these are things that encourage us in what it is we are to be as Christians and how we might do a better job of being members of the church and being active people. And I'm going to skip over what was intended to be for this week because it actually fits a little better next week with our Operation Christmas Child project. And this week we're going to get a little ahead of ourselves in not being church dropouts. I will not be a church dropout. And if you are here this morning and you are a church dropout who happened to show up today, I did not plan it that way, and whoever invited you had no idea either, and so don't feel ambushed. But I think a lot of us can associate with this idea. Now, maybe some of you have had a point in life where you did kind of drop out of church and people wondered where you were. Maybe some of you have been those folks who wanted to test and see if anyone would notice and wondered if you would get a call. Maybe some of you were just tired of doing so much or doing so little, depending on how you're geared. Maybe some of you were bothered by something. Or if you are not someone who has dropped out somewhere along the way, I would imagine all of us know someone who has. And there are probably a lot of stories that go with that as far as why people choose to leave the church, why people choose to walk away. And we're going to look a little bit at those ideas this morning. Beginning in Ephesians chapter 2, mine might not exactly match what's up there, but I'm going to read it from here instead of turning behind me. Beginning in verse 8, Paul writes, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has prepared in advance a job for each of us when it comes to his body, when it comes to the church. And I don't know that a lot of us really spend a lot of time thinking about it in that way. I don't know about you, but I think most of us probably have things that we are good at. And you may not brag about it, or maybe you do. I don't know. We're all geared a little bit differently. But we all have things that we're good at, and when you do that thing for the first or second or third time and it becomes more and more comfortable to you, you start to realize that this is kind of a unique talent that I have. Or maybe you have seen it in somebody else. I was looking at Facebook this morning, and I had a video that came up on my Facebook from several years ago. There's these little memory things on there that remind you of something that happened on this day in another year. And on this day, about 7 years ago, David was playing flag football. And I watched as David was finally handed the ball. And being the dad watching a football game, so many times I would watch those games and just be that, you know, the dad who would say, "Why don't they ever hand my son the ball? What's wrong with that coach? Does he not see the pure talent that is on the field with my child?" And I would get frustrated and just want him to get a shot at it. And finally, I'm watching a game, and it's probably the second or third game of the season, and they call a play for David. And I thought, I'm getting the camera out in case something great happens here. And so I'm videoing this as it happens, and they run a reverse. And if you're not a football fan, I apologize for the analogy, but the way the reverse works is everything tries to push one direction on the field because you're trying to fool the defense, and then one guy is going to come around the other direction once everything is moving the opposite way and try his best to run as far as he can. And as I saw David coming around, and I realized the defense had kind of, they had bought the fake, and he comes around, and then he is just gone. And he all the way to score, and I'm going crazy in the video. The video is kind of shaking a little bit and everything else. And I'm just excited because I have watched him do this kind of stuff when he's out playing, and now finally he's getting the opportunity to do it in a setting where it counts in 8-year-old flag football. And I remember watching it just be so excited for him because I thought, finally he's got the opportunity to do it, to actually get out there and to do something. I don't know what that is for you, that thing that makes you feel alive. I hear some of you talk about quilting, and you get pretty excited about it, and it seems like something that makes you feel alive. Me, doesn't make me feel alive, but that's my thing. I hear some of you talk about crafts or fixing something or building something. And it's that thing that you do that you just, as you're in the midst of it, you start to realize this is one of those things that God has put within me to do. For some of you who teach, it's when you teach. For some of you as parents, it is being around your family. And you start to realize this is the thing that God has placed me here to do. I want you to take all of that, whatever it is for you, sports, crafts, quilts, family, whatever that thing might be, and think of it within the context of church. Not a lot of touchdown opportunities in church. Maybe there's some quilting ones. I don't know. But God has placed us here and prepared in advance for us work to do as a church and as individuals within the church. And have you thought about that? That God brought you here to this church for a purpose. There is something you can do here at this church that if you were not the one doing it, it would not be done. It would not be done in the same way. Maybe no one would ever even think of it. And God has placed you here for that. So when someone burns out on church, when someone decides to be a dropout, something is left undone. Not just for the work of the church, but also for the work of that person, that God has prepared something for them to do, and now that thing is no longer being done. And so I want us to think for a minute about church burnout. And we talk about burnout a lot in terms of job stuff. And maybe some of you have been there where you get so burned out with your job that you just dread being there. A lot of folks will change careers at that point or change jobs at that point. You get frustrated. The things that didn't bother you on day one are bothering you a whole lot more now. And you want to do something differently than what you're doing. And in the church world, that same thing can happen. And it usually comes back to one of two things. And ironically, at opposite ends of the spectrum. You're either doing way too much or you're doing way too little. And I would imagine that would probably describe a lot of us. A rule I heard when I first got into ministry long, long ago was that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And for those 20%, it is very easy for you to get burned out. When someone calls you on the phone or sends you an email and says, "What'd you think about teaching the high school class?" There are a lot of reactions you may have to that. Depending on where you're at in life, some of you may think you couldn't pay me to go back to high school for anything, and I don't want to, that's not my crowd. Some of you may think, "I've raised my teenagers and I'm done now." Some of you may think, "If I say yes to this, I'm going to be teaching the high school class until 2027. And I really don't want to do it for that long. I'm not going to say yes right now." And in the course of church life, we've done a lot of those kind of things. You volunteer for this? All right, that's your thing now. And that's your thing until the end of time, or you wear out, whichever comes first. Now, on the opposite side, we have a lot of us who just like to be here. And don't get me wrong, I like for you to be here too. I prefer a big group like this than a whole lot of empty chairs. But if just being here is your idea of church, that's not it either. And we find ourselves at either extreme. And so when you do way too much and you're almost in it just to try to please people maybe because you're a people pleaser, and I think a lot of us can be that, and you do way too much and then you start to get tired. Or at the other end, if you don't do much at all, you really can convince yourself that they really don't need me there. I mean, everything that's getting done is already getting done, and I'm not a part of it. And so if I'm there or not there, no one's really going to notice. And so we find ourselves at these two opposite ends of the spectrums getting burned out. And our trouble is, how do we find some balance in between? Because like so many things in life, where we get ourselves into trouble is at the extremes. And when we find balance in the middle, we find the harmony that God has created us for. In 1 Corinthians, and I will read this one from the screen, chapter 12 and verse 27, he says, "Now you are part of the body. Now you are the body of Christ, and now each one of you is a part of it." We all have a part to play. And what he doesn't say here is, "You're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And you're a much more important part of it than you are, and you're a much more important part of it than you are, and your part is kind of small, and it's really not all that. We're all a part. We all have a role to play. We all are important in one way or another. And as soon as you start to think that your role is not all that important, oftentimes we will realize it is. You guys don't think about who wired all the sound in AV too much until this morning, and we really had to kind of think about it a little bit. I ran lighting for a play when I was a sophomore in high school. No one knew who I was. My back was to the audience. No one had a clue that I was involved in any way doing anything until the lights went out. And then everyone knew who I was and wondered why the lights were out. And it took me a few minutes to fix it, and then it became the conversation of the play, of the time the lights went out in the play. Each one of us plays a role of some kind in this body. And when you are not playing your role at the full, or I am not playing my role at the full, the church is less than it could be. Now, there is a third reason for burnout that we may not think of in the same terms of being too busy or not busy enough. But there are an awful lot of folks out there who are not in church or not active in church anymore because of people. And you know what I mean when I talk about people. Because even though we're all supposed to be a part, unfortunately, sometimes we have to deal with these people. People are not perfect. I am not perfect, shocking as that may be. You are not perfect either, shocking as that may be sometimes. And we are going to, from time to time, say things or do things that bother one another. Has that ever happened in your family? Happens in mine sometimes. I do and say stupid things. I'm not always the husband or the father that I need to be. I mess up. And very fortunately for me, or blessed by God for me, generally speaking, they're still around after I mess up. They stick with me through it. And as a church body, that's the same thing we need to be driving towards. The understanding, and by the way, we mentioned 2 weeks ago that we were going to try hard to go 91 days without complaining about church, remember, way back 2 weeks ago? We've got 77 left. I don't know how we're doing. Hard not to complain about stuff, isn't it? And yet we realize so often that we are as flawed as those that we complain about. And for whatever reason, we don't see those flaws as clearly. We were talking in the high school class this morning, because I said yes. We were talking in the high school class this morning about David and Bathsheba and how messed up that entire situation was. And if you're not familiar with it, go back and read it in 2 Samuel, and you'll be amazed by it too. And how at every turn, rather than noticing the stop sign that is up in front of him, he just runs right through it and makes the next bad decision. And keeps going and keeps going and keeps going and cannot recognize that what he is doing is horribly wrong. And it takes Nathan the prophet coming to him and telling him a story about someone else doing something wrong. And then suddenly the lights come on and he realizes that guy is terrible that you're telling the story about. How could he do such a thing? And then Nathan turns the story on him and he realizes that guy is him with a different set of circumstances. For each of us, the things that we get frustrated with each other about are oftentimes things that we've done ourselves. And maybe it's from the opposite side of the argument, or maybe it's from the same side at times, and we just do it in a different way. But we got to be more patient with each other. And so whether it is we're doing too much or we're doing too little, or there are other people out there that drive us crazy from time to time, we have got to commit to ourselves that we are not going to give up on this. Now, easier said than done, isn't it? Because there are a lot of folks that we know who are not here anymore. There are a lot of folks that we have known throughout the course of our lives in other churches and other places where we have been that are not there anymore. who've given up on this. And there may be times where even if you have not, the thought has gone through your mind, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. And I would say to you, please don't give up. Don't give up on God, first of all, because he loves you more than you can possibly know. But secondly, don't give up on his church, because he is the one who designed this thing. He is the one who looked at us and designed us as well and saw the way that we were made, that we need this. And he saw the mission that he had in the world to be evangelized. And he knew that the way to get there is through all things, this. This is the way he laid it out. There is not a better plan than his. And so when it's going off course, or when we're feeling burned out or like we're ready to give up, chances are we're just not doing it the right way. It wasn't his design that's flawed. It's the way we carry it out. And how do we go about fixing that? Well, how do we fix it within our own families? Do you go to your spouse and say, "What's wrong with you?" Do you go to your spouse and say, "Are you crazy?" Do you go to your kids and say, "I just can't deal with you anymore"? Oh, you may have thought those things from time to time, but we don't say them. And for some reason, when it comes to church life, we can say some pretty rough things to each other. Don't let those things, those moments of lashed out anger or frustration or whatever they are, don't let them decide your relationship with God. Don't let them decide your relationship with the church. Because each of us has a way of seeing the flaws in each other before we see them in ourselves. This morning, if you find yourself on either side of that, I'd ask you to think about it. I'd ask you to let it bother your heart a little bit. If you have been wronged in church life by other Christians, by brothers and sisters, I would ask you to think it through. I would ask you, is it reason enough to hold on to what you're holding on to, or is it something that you finally need to let go of? Or if you have found yourself on the other side of that and you know deep down that you have wronged someone else and you worry about how you have caused them to feel about the church, seek that person out and make it right. It's kind of a tough lesson to think of this morning, because we don't like to have these conversations. If you're anything like me, when conflict is nearby, I just want to kind of move the other way. I don't like the conflict. And so many times I will just continue to push that conflict away just a little bit, but it always remains just right there, not quite being solved. And that's our nature, I think, sometimes when it comes to church. That's part of the being a church dropout, is sometimes it's just so much easier to walk away than to deal with the conflict. And I think God would look at our church family like our own families and say, don't just walk away. Let's fix this. Let's do this the right way. And so this morning, if you have conflict, pray, seek that person out, do something about it. But whatever you do, do not become a church dropout. Because this church needs you. God wants you here to be a part. And we are missing something when you are not. One other category before we leave this all behind. By the very nature of something like this, a lot of folks that I wish could hear this are not here because they've already given up. And you know a lot of those folks. And I hope a couple weeks ago when we talked about I will go and I will share this message and I will spread the good news, maybe some of these folks were that person that you put in the blank, that person that you pray for an opportunity to talk to. I hope that prayer will continue. I hope that as we talk about dropouts from church, that someone's name has come to your mind. And that when you approach that person, you do it in love, and you do it gently, and you do it in such a way to give them no reason to not want to think about the church again. You do it in such a way that shows how concerned we are when a member of the family is not here. You do it in such a way that is like the one sheep that was lost when the 99 were still here. We care about each and every person who is ever a part of this body, and we would like them to be a part of it again. This morning, if there is something that you would like to have us pray about, if you would like to become a part of the family, or if there's some other way we can help you in a public way, please come while we stand and sing.